The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Congressman Cliff Benson, studio, proud to have him here. And Cliff, always good to see you. And let's see, we've had a couple of town halls. You have a town hall coming up this morning being today, at because I'm probably going to end up playing our conversation so everybody else can hear it, no matter when they get a chance to check you out. But today, 10 o'clock, and that's going to be at Jackson County Expo. About how long you be there?
Well, roughly 2 hours. Roughly, the meeting itself lasts about an hour and a half, but we have a pre-meeting with local elected officials, which is always extraordinarily interesting. They bring us current on law enforcement activities and what the county leaders are doing, and local issues, mayors, Mayor Sparacino. We'll have all kinds of people there that want to bring attention to the pressing issues at the local political level.
Yeah, which will most likely be inflation.
And homeless. Inflation, yes.
Hey, before we dig into that, if you don't mind, I wanted to ask a question, because yesterday the impeachment document ended up being released from Congress. And it is so obvious that Joe Biden, with the $27 million in Ukraine money that ended up being laundered through this and all this, he's the lamest of all lame ducks at this point. Especially after last night's, yelling and barking rant, at the speech of the DNC. Is the impeachment inquiry, was this all a lost cause? Was it an opportunity missed? Because it's obvious that at least 2-3 years ago, this guy should have been taken out of office. And we'd be talking about President Harris, at this point. But it's obvious that there's a lot going on there, a lot of smoke behind the scenes.
Yes, and if you look at the Mayorkas impeachment, which I supported and voted for, you can see why there was not an impeachment recommendation in that report. If you read it carefully, and I only read the first 20 pages of it last night. I got it yesterday. I had not seen the report before. Mm-hmm. The report was issued by three different committees, or three of our committees that had been working on this. They gave us very brief updates over the past 2 years on what they were doing. But the Oversight Committee, and then Comer runs it, Congressman Comer, and then the Ways and Means Committee was looking at the tax issues. Mm-hmm. And so Jason Smith is chair of that committee. And then, of course, my committee, Judiciary, and Jim Jordan, those are the three committees that issued the report. But the majority of the work was done by the other two committees. Ways and Means on the tax issues that Hunter Biden is now, I think he's being tried for several of them, finally.
And I know that a judge said, no, we're not going to dismiss those charges.
Correct.
So that's going to move forward here.
Finally.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is an enormous amount of factual evidence supporting an impeachment proceeding. I will just share with you that there was not a recommendation in the report for impeachment. And a lot of it has to do with your lamest of lame ducks remark, because that's exactly what he is. And the question is, why would anybody want to distract from focus on their current candidate? Mm-hmm. Who knows if she'll get replaced, but I'm guessing they're kind of running out of opportunities to bring in new people to run for president. But the point is, the focus right now should be on winning the election this fall, getting Trump elected and moving on. And anything we do in this other space, that's why you didn't see a recommendation for impeachment.
Yeah, I get that. I understand why not. But what concerns me, though, is that evidence still existed 2-3 years ago. And why did it never get any traction before this time?
As the reports that were given to us, primarily by Jim Comer, chair of the Oversight Committee, because he was doing the majority of the work, and he would say, we have not found the smoking gun. We've not found that direct link, at least. They found everything but that exact link. There's every type of inference indicating that the president, President Biden.
So all this smoke was around there, but no direct, hey, dead bang, we got you on this.
That's correct. Okay. We had some testimony indicating that, but that testimony was offset by other testimony. So you need something in writing that says, here's a check for $10 million. That didn't exist to the president. It did to his son. But there, and I say $10 million, I think it was $27 million is what they actually ultimately located.
All right. So I will just, the bottom line on this is it's much like a prosecutor. It's like, we know what happened. We know you're dirty. We got this in. Can I prove it in court? No.
Yeah, and so one other thing that needs to be understood, we did the Mayorkas impeachment correctly. It took a couple of runs at it, but we got it done correctly following all of the required procedures and sent it to the Senate. What happened to it? Nothing. It was promptly dismissed by the Senate. So if we were to go through, and remember, the impeachment is merely an indictment. It's not a conviction. And so if we were to go through this, then we would end up, sadly, with the same result in front of the Senate. So the real issue is, why are we doing it when we know that ultimately he will not be convicted by the Senate? Because he won't be. I guarantee it. That would never happen on the facts as they now exist. And so the question is, where are we going to focus our attention here in the few months left before Election Day?
Okay, very good. Congressman Cliff Benz with me. And inflation seems to be the major topic of conversation in your town hall so far, that people are coming after you. And I was even talking about it this morning. I'm looking at the price of gold this morning. It was like $25.29. We're once again poking at all-time highs. And it really is sort of an analog to how much control does Congress really have of budgeting. And I know that the Harris folks and the Biden folks are all saying that, they're talking about price controls, because the way they look at inflation is caused by corporate greed, right? Rather than the fact that you print up $1.5 trillion of COVID money that you end up, shoving into the economy. So we have a real issue here. Gold saying that there's no control. Would you agree there's no control of the budgeting process here right now? What would you say?
Well, remember, our budget is made up of two different parts. The first part is discretionary spending, which we have control over, and the second part is mandatory spending, which is much more challenging. Mandatory spending is the lion's share of our $6.5 trillion budget. Mandatory
spending.
That's
Social Security, Medicare, various pensions,
veterans,
things like that, veterans benefits,
and several other areas. And so those areas have to be protected because negatively affected. There's too many people that rely upon those programs. And I think that's why you see gold going up. There's another reason you see gold going up, and that is that we have a $35 trillion deficit, and that's going to be extraordinarily difficult to reduce. And so,
and to roll over, for that matter.
But, but most governments, when they get that far in debt, they don't pay off the debt. They inflate their way out of it. They allow inflation to diminish the amount of money that is owed. And I think what you see on the gold price side of things is people are going, this government is never going to pay back $35 trillion. Mm-hmm. What instead they'll allow is the dollar to become weaker, and thus that debt shrinks. And people on the gold side of things are saying, buy gold because the dollar is going to become weaker. That's their bet. And all of these things are bets on the future. Nobody really knows exactly what's going to happen. There's other worse outcomes than this. I mean, when you start trying to inflate your way out, and by the way, I do not support that solution to our federal debt problem. But when you try to start going down that path, then you are very likely to see skyrocketing interest rates because it'll become harder and harder to attract people to buy our debt.
Yeah, are we risking an inflationary recession, depression here in the coming months, the way things have been going over the last few years?
Well,
I know it's not your main wheelhouse, but,
Right. Well, let me say that on the discretionary side of the budget, not the mandatory, but the discretionary, we Republicans, and I brought you a graph there that you're looking at, a chart.
Yeah, by the way, I've got to hold that chart up and go ahead and explain what they're seeing. I know
So what they're seeing is the fact that the Republicans have held discretionary spending at what it actually reduced it from what the Biden administration has done.
This is the stuff that you can choose to spend or not spend.
That is correct.
Okay.
And again, it's a roughly 20% of the total budget. 80% is mandatory spending. So you can see that when you hear all this discussion about reducing spending, it's on that 20% side, the discretionary side of the budget. But we Republicans, and it's been extremely difficult, but we have succeeded in reducing the discretionary spending. And Bill, I got to tell you, when people come into my office in D.C., 99% are coming in to ask me for money. Mm-hmm. 99%. I jokingly say I want to give an award to the people that come in not asking for money, because I can probably count them on my one hand. So when you say I don't do earmarks, because I don't, mm-hmm. then they get extremely angry at me.
But in this particular time, I'm not blaming you in general, but is not the system pretty much engineered that Congress and Washington D.C. is the market now? I hate to say that, but you know, when you look at what is talked about, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, which of course is just once again throwing trillions into politically favored businesses.
Yes, and if you look at the chart that you have there, you'll see under the Biden administration in 2021 and 2022, that includes the Inflation Adjustment Act Reduction Act, excuse me. And so, unfortunately, you have a black and white version of this. And if it were in color, you would see that that's stacked on top of the mandatory spending and on top of the discretionary spending, because mm-hmm. That was the excess spending. And we Republicans said no. Now, we didn't have a COVID crisis looking at us, as did Trump years ago, but neither did Biden when he came in. The COVID situation had passed by. But
although he made claims that he did.
He did, but he was wrong, and that's why we voted against it. But, you know, but for Joe Manchin, the acts that were passed, the Reduction Act, would have been $2 trillion larger. They wanted to spend $3.5 trillion, but he said no. He was the one vote. It's amazing what that guy was able to do. Thank goodness for Joe Manchin. Now, he's going to retire. Someone's going to take his place. I hope a Republican. But the point is, it could have been so much worse, because when you defined inflation earlier, but my definition is too many dollars chasing too few goods.
Yeah. And the Democrats say it's corporate greed, though, which is why they're talking price controls right now. I remember price controls as a kid didn't work out real well. Okay?
I'm happy to supply anybody that would ask our office with a report that shows that 40% of the cause of the inflation was too much government spending. And 40% at least, and probably more. And so when there's a combination of things that caused inflation. By the way, I describe inflation as a visitor you don't want in your house that never leaves. Mm-hmm. Because once that inflation occurs, it doesn't suddenly go away.
It's not like the price is reversed. And see,
that's
the other thing.
Point.
And that's why I've been so concerned as they do all this inflation happy talk. Well, the rate has gone down to about 3%. Of course, most of that was caused because used car prices plummeted 11% year over year. And so it gets washed out. And so it's not as good as they're claiming right now, Congressman.
Again, people have said, if you want to reduce inflation, stop the government spending. And the spending that we know we can try to stop is discretionary spending. And if you look at that chart, we've done that.
Yeah.
It was some of the first time in recent history, by recent I mean 30, 40 years, where you've actually seen discretionary spending go down. While at the same time, because a part of discretionary spending is our military budget, we actually increased it. But that meant we had to decrease other spending. Bill, I have to tell you, it's really hard, because when you take money away from folks that have been used to getting it, they get really mad. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to know this. And
yeah,
so,
you want to get somebody angry, take away their budget, right?
If you come in and say, I'm sorry, but your program for whatever. These programs many times are very good programs. There's an unlimited amount of good is the point, Bill. And so if you spent all the money on all the good, we would never have enough money.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So where do we move forward here, given that we're looking at really super high utility price increases? We're getting intermittent and chaotic out here on the West Coast. I'm sure you're familiar with that. I bet people have been calling you from Talent all the time, can't manage to keep the lights on. Is this something which is on a congressional radar, given that these are federally and state regulated industries, you know, utilities and such?
Absolutely it's on the radar. I will just direct your attention toward all of this dam removal, whether it's on the Klamath and loss of the power that those dams generated, which is essential to much of the water diversion that used to occur from the Klamath. But the ones on the lower Snake River, the four Snake River dams, having those come out, which is what a bunch of environmentalists want, I certainly do not, would...
You've had hearings on this, I know,
I have,
this,
because
right?
I am chair of the Water, Wildlife, Fisheries Subcommittee. I've been able to hold hearings on the proposals by Democrats to remove the four lower Snake River dams. That would be their first step. They want to remove all the dams. They really do.
And do they want to come after the Bonneville project?
Of course,
too?
They're coming after the Bonneville. These four Snake River dams are part of Bonneville. But when people look at their utility bill each month and it's higher, they should go call their utility company and ask why. Because what's happening is the transition that the Democrats are forcing to green power is driving up the cost of your electrical bill. Period. That's what's going on. All of those solar panels, all of that wind, all of the transmission necessary to reach out into the rural areas and bring that power in, that is what is driving up the cost of your power. Go ask them. And it's certainly not natural gas because natural gas is plummeting in cost for real. And so that's not the problem. The problem is far more green stuff that you are now paying for.
Is there a now we don't know what's going to happen in the presidential election. Everywhere you talk to, it's a toss up at this point. We don't know even about the control of Congress. Chances are you're going to be reelected. It's going to be just fine. Okay, at least in our particular district. But is there going to be finally a national conversation of you cannot go the Green New Deal? The Green New Deal is essentially chaotic and expensive. And is there finally going to be some way to stick a fork into this? And I know that this is being done by with a religious fervor from the left. Okay,
if Kamala Harris is elected president, you will see a doubling down, if not a tripling down, on the Green New Deal.
Okay,
I guarantee it. On if we are successful in getting former President Trump reelected, then we would see a movement away from the Green New Deal. Is that clear? It's absolutely that clear.
Yeah. People who say there's not a choice this time around. Yeah, I don't quite get that. What do you think about the campaign so far over on the Trump side and the Harris side? Any comments on that before we take off? Overall?
Well, I must say the use of the term joy in regard to candidate Kamala Harris is misplaced. We should be in dread of her being elected, because if that happens, we will end up having, like I just said, imposed upon us many of the progressive things that we hear from the Squad and other groups like that. Because she, Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, excuse me, now Vice President Harris, was one of the most, if not the most liberal senator in her 2 years in Congress. On the Trump side of things, his campaign is trying to recalibrate. Because when Biden went out, then the obvious focus of Biden was his incompetence. And so now you have to shift over and start focusing on Kamala.
Were you as surprised as I was that there didn't seem to be a plan B, that there could have been any change on the top of the Democratic ticket? I was kind of surprised that, that there seemed to be like one plan and one plan only, and that nothing else could have happened.
All right. Well, I think it's hard to overestimate Pelosi's power. She was the one that engineered the replacement of Joe Biden.
The coup, in essence. Yeah.
And so if you want to see somebody that knows what they're doing in the political space, I'll tell you, she knows what she's doing. I don't think that most people thought this transition would happen so abruptly, but that's what everyone realized, particularly on the Democrat side, is after that debate, Joe had to go.
Yeah, couldn't be hidden any longer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they made it happen amazingly fast. What's happening now is it's one of those bums rush deals. Quick, hurry, get Kamala elected. Hurry up. And then we'll find out what she's like after we got her elected. That's what they're trying to do. But no, what we need to do is look at her history and see that she is indeed one of the most liberal people, if not the most liberal person that would ever have been elected president. I know there's a lot of competition in that space if you look back, but that is the truth. And so you're going to have to figure out, we're going to have to figure out, the Trump campaign is going to have to figure out how to properly explain what would happen if she was elected.
Congressman Cliff Bence, we appreciate you coming in. And remember, an hour and a half from now, Congressman Bence is taking your questions, concerns. It's a town hall, 10 o'clock, Jackson County Expo. You're in Cave Junction.
Yeah, correct.
No, and yeah. Josephine County yeah. yesterday. I know right. that. And then later it's going to be off Merle. Josephine County and
Klamath, and then we're heading to Lake. Yeah, so counties.
All right,
we
good.
Have 20 counties, and we will have five of those done by the end of this week.
Okay, inflation, border. That's got to be the focus here over the next few months. Seriously,
I've been to the border five times. A more sad situation created in significant part by the Biden administration.
But surprisingly, you were saying there hasn't been a lot of question about that border issue in the town hall so far. Well, is that surprising?
That surprises me a little, but there's so much going on. I think the fact when someone goes to the grocery store, it pretty well focuses your thinking, because as you're looking at shrinkflation, you know, you used to get a box of cereal, now you get a small package for the same price. Or the thing I use is the Cliff Bar, because that's my name, right? The Cliff Bar is no longer Cliff Bar, it's a Cliff Bit, because you get this little bitty package, same price.
Yeah, pretty soon it'll be a Cliff Bits and Pieces, you know, like the like the Reese's, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Congressman, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Bill.
Welcome back anytime. 831 at KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Remember, Congressman Bence, Jackson County Expo, 10 o'clock this morning.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rentier Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRentier.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
Saving big, I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Get your candles. Get your crank radios. It will happen. When the power goes out,
early evenings, 8 to 10.
They don't know where to start.
Turn on your radio while you still have power.
Why isn't anyone listening to us? Why isn't anyone giving us help? Why isn't anybody coming to our aid?
Ground Zero.
Well, they're not going to, you see.
When the lights Ground Zero. Go down.
Be ready. It will happen.
On KMED.
Power failure.
And KCMD. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
We'll check news here in just a moment. Want to grab a couple of calls. I'm sorry, when I have Congressman Bence on, I really can't take any calls. I only have a few minutes, and frankly, can't screen it, so we just got to move on. But I'm happy to talk with you, your thoughts afterwards. And Bob's in Medford. Hey, Bob, what are you thinking?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, my question for Cliff Bence and for you and your listeners is, you know, should Trump not get elected, where is the emphasis on Congress and Senate to get conservative members in? And the big fear is always, oh, nothing will get done if we don't have a balanced government with Democrats or no Republicans.
Right.
But there are checks and balances, and there is more that could be done, you know, if you do have conservative members in Congress and the Senate.
It would take a lot more than what we probably have at the moment, though, to really have much impact because, well, all you have to do is just look at Thomas Massie. You look at Thomas Massie. You want to talk about, you know, conservative. It's almost like Uber, you know, to the nth degree. But on the other hand, it can't get arrested most of the time. really. You know?
Yeah. And then my way out there question has been addressed a little bit. Is he's you know, and head of Department of Fisheries and all that. Why is my fishing license underwriting the offshore fisheries? You know, I mean, they take up so much salmon that, you know, we get the dregs that happen to come up on a good run.
Yeah. Now, your fisheries license, though, is that not a state license, though? Or is that not? I'm not a fisher. I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know.
I pay the state for that, but the feds have a lot of control of what happens offshore, you know, as well as Oregon. But my concern is, you know, how much are the offshore fisheries scooping up all this salmon that never makes it back from the hatcheries that we pay for?
I would venture a guess more than we think. More than we think.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate the question there, Bob. 770-5633. Let me go to Brad. Hello, Brad. You've been hanging on here. Welcome.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. Thanks so much for having the congressman on this morning. What a great interview that was.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed that. My concern here is, you know, we started off with gold and things like that. And the reason I did that, it's not that I'm a gold bug. I'm not. But there are certain indicators that are being made that the market doesn't think that Congress has any real ability to get control of what's going on. You see where I'm coming from? And I mean, this is both sides of the aisle. And I know that they ended up getting some discretionary spending dialed down. But ultimately, and nobody wants to talk about it, though, it's the mandatory spending that's killing us, too.
Right.
80%,
right.
80% of it's mandatory, and there is no plan because you touch it and you're dead. Politically, right? I mean, it's where that's reality. It doesn't matter if you're Ron Wyden or you're Cliff Bentz or you're, Jeff Merkley, you know, everybody, you know, in the same, you touch that, you're dead. Where do we go?
Yeah, it's a great, you know, there's the debt and there's the deficit. The deficit is your year over year shortfall. Then the debt is your aggregated debt.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we are increasing our debt $1 trillion every 10 months. That's never happened in the history of it's going to be. But what I wanted to thank you for is mentioning a little bit about the Dan Beal. And what I would be interested to know, and when I get a chance, I'm going to ask the congressman, is what have we learned from this disastrous enterprise of taking the dams out of the Klamath? You know, you have Bill Simpson on. And he gives a lot of really hard data on the disaster that this is. We've got people actually measuring water temperatures on the Klamath. Water temperatures as of August 10th were in excess of 76 degrees. Those are fish-killing temperatures. Without the dams, you can't regulate flood. Without water storage, you can't regulate water temperature. When my mother was a little girl growing up on the Klamath, when we'd have warm spots in the summer, there would be thousands and thousands of dead fish along the banks of the Klamath, because the water simply got too hot for the fish to exist in it. What have we learned from this disastrous enterprise of taking out the dams on the Klamath that we can apply to this discussion as we move forward?
Well, I know that, Cliff got into the conversation too late on Klamath. There was just no way you were going to be able to do much on that. It had been going on for, 15, 20 years, I think, everything that was going on, you know, behind the scenes on this. Plus, the state of Oregon and California put their thumb on the scale. They said, hey, we'll cover the problems. Great. So you and I get to pay for the problems after the fact here, too. That's why I think he's had a really super focus on the Snake River, because the Snake River, big hydropower, big project, part of Bonneville, and you know darn well the next is the BPA on the Columbia, right? You know that's going to be, they want it all.
Oh yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, the same insane people that thought this is a great idea. And what you see that they're doing is they're just scaling up their ambitions, right? They're, you know, when they get one, it's all about the next one. It's all about tearing out the next dam. So this is where society as a whole needs to understand that, number one, it's not, we all agree that we need more hydropower. The congressman talked about that. You talked about that. But why did we build these dams before we even had hydropower? This little thing that we call flood control. Has anybody seen the damage that floods can do?
And also just the beneficial use of water, whether it's flood control, whether it's irrigation, whether it's recreation, does all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And we blow that all out at our peril. Brad, I appreciate your call, and thanks for checking in, okay? You be well. We're going to have a conversation about the builder's situation here, because that's not getting any better either, okay?
Thank you. No, it is not.
All right. Thanks, Brad. 20 before 9, Diner 62 Real American Quiz. After all of this chewy news, we'll give you some great goodies to chew on. And at Diner 62, wonderful, wonderful food. And my gosh, what was it last week? It was a chicken fried steak with the hash browns and the eggs. And it's like, oh man, you know, it's, I didn't tell you this before. When I had my birthday a couple of weeks ago, Linda took me to a really, really super fancy restaurant. And for what we paid for that meal, you know, at that time, would have been about 8 or 9 Diner 62 meals, right? And honestly, I think for the price, the Diner 62 meals are better. You know, I'm kind of surprised how much these, how unimpressive some of the fancier restaurants are here in Southern Oregon. Even Linda was saying, oh, I can make that better, right? You know, that kind of thing. But let's just jump on this, okay? 770-5633. You got a great question, and all you have to do is just answer it. And if you haven't won it in the last 60 days, you'll do this afternoon, okay?
It's Bowl for Vets at Lava Lanes on Saturday, September 14th, noon to 3 p.m. It's a no-tap tournament and is raising funds for veteran services and suicide prevention. The opening ceremony is hosted by Marshall Holman. You'll get 3 games, shoes, swag, and a ticket for raffle prizes. Register for Bowl for Vets by September 7th by going to Eventbrite.com and searching First Annual Bowl for Vets. That's Eventbrite and search for First Annual Bowl for Vets. And we'll see you on Saturday, September 14th at noon at Lava Lanes.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A Grants Pass man is charged with intentionally derailing a freight train in the Union Pacific Rail Yard in Klamath Falls on August 12th. As a freight train was passing, Craig Sadler is accused of pulling the switch, sending 4 rail cars off the tracks and causing $1 million in damage. Police found Sadler less than a mile away. Businesses are lining up to kill a ballot measure that would create a massive new tax on businesses, large and small, to give all Oregonians $1,600 a year. Grocers, insurers, timber companies, and other businesses from inside and outside Oregon have dropped almost $6 million to fight ballot measure 118 that would increase prices and potentially cost jobs. Democratic Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is following in Kate Brown's footsteps. The 2024 morning consult poll of all 50 state governors places Kotek at the bottom of the poll as the least approved and least liked governor in America. I'm Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
You wouldn't spend several thousand dollars on a new car, then never change your oil, would you? Regular maintenance is intended to prevent mechanical failure. The same principle is true of your home's central air system. Join Advanced Air's Comfort Club for uninterrupted air conditioning all summer long. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver reliable comfort and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com for preventative maintenance details and learn about Bryant heating and cooling products.
Intelligent, innovative, award-winning heating and cooling solutions. myadvancedair.com.
Pancakes certified by a committee of grandmas. Try a stack at Diner 62.
Getting ready for a summer road trip? Click on the travel report on KMED.com for the latest road construction, road cams, and gas prices in our region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Brought to you by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
By the way, at Diner 62, avocado's big on the menu. In fact, you want avocado in your oatmeal. I don't know why you would, but you could. It's available on, actually, it's available on burgers, omelets, salads, you name it. You asked in Randy Delivering, and they still have that half ham special for $10.95 Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 in the morning. Okay, so when you're listening to me, go in there and get that special, okay? And all your hearty breakfast and lunch favorites, omelets, skillets, waffles, biscuits, it's all there at Diner 62. And let me go to David. David's in Phoenix, and David, you are hungry this morning from the sounds of it, right? Welcome.
Boy, that ham sounds good. I better head over there.
Yeah, it is very good indeed, all right? Hey, David, it was tomorrow in history, Wednesday, August 21st, 1897, the Olds Motor Vehicle Company was founded. Ransom Olds of Lansing, Michigan, founds Olds Motor Vehicle Company, which later becomes Olds Motor Works and then Oldsmobile. Now, he was born in 1864 in Ohio, and Olds went to work for his family's machine repair and engine building business in 1883. Now, in 1896, Olds finished his first gasoline-powered vehicle, and the following year, he founded the Olds Motor Vehicle Company. Now, after the company moved from Lansing to Detroit in 1900, a fire burned it all down except for a curved dash model. The curved dash Oldsmobile became a huge sensation after appearing at the New York Auto Show in 1901. So Olds goes back to Lansing in 1902 and started large-scale production of the car. So how many cylinders did this runabout have? Was it 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4 cylinders? What do you say there, David? How many cylinders on the first Oldsmobile?
I have no idea, so I'm just going to say 3.
You're going to say 3. 3, yeah, not this time. It wasn't 3. I appreciate you trying, though. Let me go to Glenn in Rogue River. Hello, Glenn. How many cylinders in the first Oldsmobile? Was it a 0 cylinder because it was a different type? A 1, a 2, or a 4? How many cylinders?
I'd say 1.
You'd say 1, and I would call you...
You're a winner!
Yep, you're the winner. One cylinder, kind of like a lawnmower, really. Light and reliable, relatively powerful, the runabout curved dash model had a tiny little one-cylinder, first American car to be produced using the assembly line system, really. That was considered a big deal and the first to become a commercial success. Now, Olds soon split with his major investor and his board of directors over the future because Olds wanted to focus on smaller cars. The other people there wanted a big, more expensive automobile. Now, in 1904, Olds left to found the Rio Motor Car Company, REO, and after he left, Oldsmobile struggled, and in 1908, it was swallowed up by the new General Motors. By the 1980s, though, Oldsmobile sales declined, and despite all these efforts to compete and making more fuel-efficient models like the Aurora, Intrigue, Alero, and Bravada, Oldsmobile struggled, and then in 2004, they pulled the plug. And at the time, Oldsmobile was America's oldest continuously operating automaker, but no more. A fallen flag for sure here. So, Roger, you are off, or Glenn, rather, you're off to Diner 62. Hang on, and let me get your address in. We're going to make that all happen, all right? Diner 62 quiz. We'll have another one either Thursday or Friday, depending on when Brian comes up with a quiz question. Always love them.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So, when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
Hi, this is Glory from Eagle Point. My dad asked me to get a quote for my own auto insurance and suggested I call Steve at Sky Park Insurance. Steve said in my situation, it would be best to stay on my parents' policy due to my age. Steve did quote my parents, including me in my car, and saved us big time. Great advice, excellent savings. Thanks, Mr. Steve.
Hi, this is Steve at Sky Park Insurance. Every situation is unique. Feel free to call me for a quote or if you just need a little advice. Remember, at Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
All aboard!
The Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad is your opportunity to ride behind the living history of a historic locomotive engine along the beautiful Oregon coast. Book either the coastal excursion for the whole family or take that special someone on the romantic moonlight excursion that includes appetizers and refreshments. Secure your seats with the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad now at OregonCoastScenic.org.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
It's 10 before 9. Some open phone time, 770-5633, 770-KMED. John's here. John, good to have you on. And boy, I got a great call from, just a second. I also, just some great news calls too. But anyway, you wanted to talk about the Oldsmobile. Is that what you were calling about here, John? Welcome.
Not exactly the Oldsmobile. I remember an old article in the old Mail Tribune that somewhere around 1918, somewhere in there, we talk about the traffic downtown in Medford, how now they're trying to get rid of cars. Well, at that point in time, Medford supposedly had more automobiles registered than New York City.
Really?
So you might want to investigate that sometime. It was an old article. Medford was booming with all the money coming in, with the orchards opening up and all that kind of thing. There were supposedly more automobiles in Medford than New York City at that time.
I had no idea. I know that we were one of the first cities to go big on traffic lights, too, from what I recall. That may have had something to do with that trend. And don't you find it interesting that the goal right now is to eliminate personal mobility?
That's what triggered this call.
Yeah. Appreciate your call, John. Thanks for the little tip there. Now, joining me right now, we have Todd. Todd? You were in the Rogue Valley Times. Great story you were part of. Tell me about that. Great deal.
I'm just a private boater. I don't work for Rogue Valley Times. But I was out Sunday on the river, and I've been following a story that a rafting family flipped their raft on August 10th above Discovery Park below Tuvelle. And so they've been missing their dog. And I was out on the river, and I just cut my engine on a gravel bar. I wasn't even looking for the dog and let my friend's dog run on the gravel bar. And when I shut my engine down, I heard this yipping from across the river. And for a second there, I didn't realize what then it occurred to me. I was like, that's that missing dog.
Yeah, it's the yipper dog. In fact, you even described it. You even described it to Buffy Pollock as that was a yipper dog that was missing, right? Little yipper.
Yeah, right? A little Pomeranian that they had. They had a life vest on it and whatnot. But, you know, in the chaos going on, there were a couple of rafts, and they all flipped. It was a mess, and the jet boat company rescued them. But the dog got swept away. So anyways, it kept yipping at me, and I was able to pinpoint him, and I just gunned my bow right up into the blackberry bushes, and he was like a foot away from me. And he just, and John had told me his name, so it's Brownie. So I was like, Brownie, come here, and he just came right in my arms. It was awesome. And the gal, we called the gal, and went down to Discovery Park, called the gal, and she just started bawling. She goes, I'm jumping in my car right now. I'm driving from Sacramento. So she picked the dog up, and Emily's on the Rogue Jet Boat Adventures website, she has a video of the reunion with the owners and whatnot. Anyway, it just made my day.
Todd, that was such a heart-centered story. And what I'm kind of curious about is that you knew that there was a missing dog out there on the Rogue from that, with the inflatables, with the rafts that had spilled over. If you had not known that there was a missing dog, would having heard the yipper dog even triggered a problem in your mind that it was something worth checking out?
Well, it would have triggered me a little bit because I'm just like that. But, because I followed the story, definitely. I knew right away what it was.
But if you hadn't been informed, poor Brownie would still be out there on the, would still be out there, really, right?
Well, he was alive. Yeah, it was in really good shape, too. Oh, my God. It didn't even look like there was no burrs in the fur. It was in fantastic shape. It was great. Thirsty and hungry, you know. So.
Now, so you found the dog. Now, was the dog on that bar you were talking about, or was it on the shore? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was across the river from me. It was on the other side of the river. It was in the blackberries, big wall of blackberries.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Was he not able to get out of that wall of blackberries?
I doubt it. I probably just hunkered down for 8 days right there.
Oh,
eating
okay.
Blackberries to survive, I would guess.
Yeah, there you go. But great job. Thank you for being the dog rescuer, okay? Really do.
Yeah, I made my day. I thought your listeners would like to hear the ending to that story. I know a lot of people are following the story.
So that's over on Rogue Jet Boat? Is that where that is, that video?
Yeah, Rogue Jet Boat Adventures.
Okay,
yeah. It's a really good video. It's great.
All right. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate that. 770-5633. You know, out of all the garbage news, out of all the bad news that comes to there, you know, you hear about that, it just cheered my heart. It just cheered my heart, really did. It's 8:56. Good morning. Hi. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Phil.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing excellently. I'm actually doing fine because I turned off Biden's speech once he started going down the very fine people lie. I had to turn it off. And then my life became better. It really did. But anyway, yeah, what's on your mind, huh?
Well, I want to clarify something a caller a couple back called about Medford and automobiles.
Yes.
At the time, he mentioned 1915. Anyway, the story always has been that Medford had more automobiles per capita.
Oh,
than
okay.
Any other city.
All right, so you have to do that divided into the population. Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't have the most automobiles, it's just the most per capita.
Well, thank you, duly corrected, but that still meant that we were doing pretty well as contrasted to other cities. Thank you, Phil. We go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. This is Francine. And when I called this morning, I wasn't actually expecting to end up talking to Paul, although I was happy to, you know, say something nice to him. I feel for their family very
much.
Yeah,
me too.
But, what I was calling, I figured you'd put me on after, and I was calling to, you know, the whole thing about the joy thing that's going on with Kamala and her gang, you know, I think part of that, you know, everybody's talking about it, you know, like the Nazis, Hitler and all that stuff. But I think there's another aspect to it.
What's that?
It's a way to enhance the way we hear and see her when she starts cackling.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because people were making fun of the cackle. So they want to make it acceptable.
So let's own the cackle and persuade you to think of the cackle as not a maniacal, idiotic response, but just it's joy. It's joy being expressed.
It's the future.
Yeah, and it's the conditioning people via the you know, the media. By the way, when you were watching that, if you were watching that last night, I know I did, when they said we fight, we win, I wanted to edit it and just change it to when we cheat, we win. How about that? You like that?
Yeah, or when they cheat and spin. How about that?
Yeah, when we cheat and spin, we win. Okay, got it. thank you very much. By the way, this is KMBD and KMBD HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Let me go to line four. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Ed, Bill.
Ed, how are you, my friend? Good to hear from you.
Well, I have an observation about the rescue of the dog on the river, and I would like to point out that there was a current undertaking to remove the ability for jet boats to be on the river, and without that dog would still be missing, okay, because he was on a jet boat. It's, you know, the entire program comes down to their intrusions, their demands, and this is the progressive idealism, removes our ability to have good stories, you know, favorable outcomes of our own. That's the whole reality to it all, and we've got to take and stand to move away from that and do that through public participation.
I would also add that something which is done not nearly enough, and they don't use the word no. I think so many people,
right,
when they object to something, they refuse to just say no. The answer is no. No is a very powerful situation. And I think that quite often people of common sense or conservatives thinking, well, we always have to kind of negotiate this and we have to come up with a compromise. How many times you hear this? You know, we have to come to a consensus. And no, our response needs to be no and no.
That is the exactness of it, Bill. It has to become that way. And we have to look at it and realize that the laws they're intruding upon exist for a reason. They exist for continuity of what we have. And that goes down to the discussion on the dams. It goes down to the discussion on everything. We have to learn to say no, and we have to do it the right way. And we have to call out this intrusive enemy and keep calling it out. And that's, you know, that's the sum of it all. But, you know, when we look at it, the proofs are in the actual occurrences that we hear every day. And like this story about the dog, I mean, that's just the capper on it all. Well, why would you want to eliminate this? For what reason? Look at the good that can come from it. Look at the joy. Look at the absolute, you know, reality of what it is. And it's totally an intrusion on every level.
Ed, I always appreciate you making a succinct point like that. I really do. Thank you for it. Okay,
Bill, the ability to do it. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
770-5633, 770-KMED. Bonnie writes me a quick email about the conversation I had with Paul Princeton this morning. Bill, hearing this gentleman speak about the assault on his family member makes me sick. If you have the opportunity to follow up with him after this conversation, please let him know that there are those of us in the Portland area who find this beyond disgusting. It's too much to hope, I know. But legal action against these aggressors is in order. The left won't behave like humans until we sue/prosecute them into submission. And you're right. A physical response may be the only way to get their attention. I thought persecuting Jews ended years ago. It doesn't end, does it? Or maybe they're just the easy target for violent animals who need an excuse to act out. Heartbreaking. Let's be grateful for the good in our lives. And that's from Bonnie in Tualatin. Bonnie, I appreciate you emailing, okay? The email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Get your appointment today. Let's see if I can squeeze in one quick call. I got 45 seconds. Can you make a good point? Hi, who's this?
Yeah, Roadwalker Bill. I just wanted to say, how could anybody that was an American or had a heart or had any common sense, how could anyone vote for the Democratic Party? Just the lies, the cheating, the stealing, everything that's gone on. How could you ever put your initial on that? I don't understand.
Well, when you have a lot of people voting with the emotional intelligence of a 12-year-old and looking at just feeling good, I see where it's coming from, but I do consider it a mind virus, my friend. Thanks for the call, all right? We'll talk more tomorrow, 9:03, okay?
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
An intelligent solution is proactive. This is Randall at Advanced Air. Reluctance to service your automobile could leave you